Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, feed on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill. And
hey, I'm Rich Reardon right here.
Old Rich, yeah, yeah.
And hey, then, and I just want to tell you, we're on WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College, Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio, and just in general, this show too. So I just wanted to mention that because we appreciate them keeping this place alive and moving.
Yeah, we definitely are. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. By gosh, a little wet this morning, but not too bad temperature-wise. So we can't complain, I guess, too much.
Right now it's 44 degrees and cloudy. It feels like 40 degrees, so it feels 4 degrees. I don't understand that.
Cooler.
44, but it feels a little cooler just probably because of the rain.
Well, the rain and the wind, there's just enough breeze to knock it down a few degrees.
Right, and we better watch out because Midwest is going to be hit this weekend with a lot of a lot of severe weather.
Right. Rain here, rain in the east, snow in the west. Boy, I tell you, I was talking to my friends out in Riverside, Wyoming yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And they had gotten 14 inches of snow this week and was expecting more snow last night. According to the weather, they did get it, and he said they'd had a pretty nice winter until the last week, and then he said everything broke loose. He said it'd been below zero every morning.
Well,
and I talked to his wife, and she said it was 2, I think, that yesterday morning. So we're lucky now because it is a little warmer. It's not below zero. We've had that, and we don't want any more of it.
I don't think we'll get any more, hopefully.
No, we'll get some cold weather yet, but I don't think we'll get anything below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not.
Well, there's a lot of severe T-storms out there, and they're worried about tornadoes and wind damage and hail. This is going on from Houston all the way to Memphis, and we're going to be on the upper end of that, but we're going to get some rain and some thunderstorms, I'm sure, this weekend. So watch out. It could, you never know what these weather people are going to actually predict. But it doesn't look too good for the South anyway.
Yeah, don't look good for the home crowd, does it?
No,
no. I got a little lake level. Lake level has came up this week. It's 542.6.
Okay.
And the normal's 538. Pat, that comes from the Corps of Engineers, Pat Robinson down there. That's her report as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we get another inch or two, by golly, it'll be up another foot or so. I think as far as the roads, I think they're all open. But if it raises another foot, Stip Road may be in jeopardy.
I don't know.
But not been much fishing going on, and of course it's been rainy and bad all week, so we don't really expect a lot of it right now at this time of year anyway. I think we're going to have to take a little break, ain't we?
We are.
Oh, my goodness gracious sakes. Well, what? Folks, huh? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say we need to let everybody know where we are, what we're doing, and this is WFHB, and it's Inside Outdoors. We'll be back in just a few.
Don't go away.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Now you can listen to us right now online if you happen to be outside of any of those areas, but if not, you can hear us there.
Hey, welcome back, folks, and by golly, I was talking about Wyoming. They drawed for elk license this month, February, and so if anybody put in for an elk license in Wyoming, you should be able to get on the internet and see if you got drawed or didn't get drawed. So that's pretty much the news from out there. Wasn't a whole lot other than there's a lot of snow. And of course, they need the snow. I know Karen told me yesterday that the more snow they got, the better they liked it, really, because they need the moisture. And of course, that's where they get their water from, melting snow. So everything's working out good, it looks like, and they'll be in good shape. Of course, there's not much hunting going on around here now. I think it's pretty well come to an end till turkey season comes in, and I think that's the 24th, 26th of April. Yeah, and I don't know, is Don still in his hideaway? I haven't heard from Don for a while. I didn't know where Don was.
I think Don's on the phone right now.
Oh, Don's on the phone right now.
Can you hear us, Don?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, there he is.
Look at that.
Good morning.
Good morning,
and this is Don Jordan. He's on assignment right now, and but he called in religiously every week to talk to us. So how you doing, Don?
I'm doing okay. I'm just getting sick of this 85-degree weather.
Oh, are you?
Are you?
I'm sorry. I hate that you're... It's getting to you, but, you
know. Hurting our feelings, boy.
Yeah, you hurt our feelings.
It was actually 90 degrees inland down here, I guess it was the day before yesterday.
Well, I'll be. That's not
bad. And high record set nearly every day for the whole last week.
They said they was having a warm spell down there.
Well, we had 75 here one day.
I heard that. I was talking to my buddy Brian up there, and he told me he was sitting there, and it was 75. And so good for you. I mean, I'm glad to hear that.
We had a couple of nice days there in the 60s, and then in the 70s, and then all the heck broke loose.
The problem is it was 114 in the Yukon this weekend. So
yeah, it's really odd, isn't it?
Well, I do. I'm kind of joking, but I'm not joking. It was the warmest week ever in February in the polar regions. So that's not good news.
Well, as you know, or may not know, I don't know, on the Inside Outdoors Facebook page, there's this fellow James Lewis who lives in Ketchikan, Alaska, and posts pictures all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had spring birds there for a couple weeks, and we're talking way up there. Of course, they get the moderated climate because they're down on the water up there, you know.
Right.
That's way north in Alaska, and the spring birds are back in it. It's been 50 degrees regularly there.
Yeah.
In February. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Global warming.
Global warming.
Yeah.
Banned to say that in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Probably.
I believe it is, yes.
I think it is.
I don't think you're allowed to say a whole lot of anything in Washington, D.C. anymore.
Yeah, well, it was banned in Florida first. Anything concerned with climate change, I think. Didn't they ban that here in Florida? That's that progressive thought they have here.
Well, I think we're getting a little of it now.
Yeah.
Well, seems to be. Now, as I recall, I was talking to my wife, Jo, about this the other day. I think just before I left up there, we were talking about fog on a January dog doing something to freezing the dog in February.
Well, you got part of it right, buddy. January fog will freeze a February dog.
Well, there you go. All right.
We got some cold weather there in February.
Well, so we had some frozen dogs.
Yeah, we had some frozen dogs. Now, if it thunders in February, there'll be frost in May. Somebody said it thundered. I didn't hear it. Somebody said it thundered yesterday.
Well, it did thunder down here.
Did it thunder down there? Well, you're going to have some frost. Yeah, forget that.
I think that's
85
an Indiana saying there, but Bill.
Forget that 85 and 90, buddy.
Okay, well, I thought something was going on here, but, you know, you never know, right? So, what's going on up there in the great outdoors? That's right now, there's no season open, is there?
No season open that I'm aware of, and like I said there a while ago, turkey season will be the next thing, I guess, and that's in April.
Yep.
Yes, it is, and there's all those reserve hunts, as you know, at the various state properties. Those were, I know the drawings for those have probably already taken place, but it's too late to apply for a reserve tent that I know.
It might be. I'd have to look and see. I don't have a booklet.
They may have till March the 1st, you know, something like that.
I don't have a booklet in front of me, so I don't know.
Here it is right here. Application period February 1st through March 18th.
Oh.
So they got to March 18 to make your turkey hunt application for the reserve turkey hunt.
Well, that's a good deal. That gives them a little more time.
If you have the internet, you can go to hunting.in.gov and find out what you need to know on that. So there's probably still some openings, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. I'd say there is. You can probably still get on about in place.
And they've added a couple more counties to the fall season, both up north. I've been seeing pictures posted by the DNR on Facebook. Showing the flooding in parts of Indiana. Man, it looks pretty bad in a couple places.
It is bad. It really is. Up north, especially right now. And the South's supposed to get it this weekend, so, it's bad.
Right. It looked like that. You know, those floods are really hard on wildlife. Not so much the mammals, but the birds. It'll wipe out quail and any pheasant that happened to be left. I don't know if there's any pheasant left in Indiana. I'm sure there's a few somewhere.
Yeah, there's probably a few, like quail. There's a few here and there, but they won't be long at this rate.
Right. I think we've talked this before, that big flood took place. Gosh, it's been 10 years ago or more now, over in Greene County, wiped out the prairie over there.
Yep.
That that's pretty much killed all those quail.
Well, that and it destroyed a lot of turkeys, too, turkey eggs, nest, and stuff.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
It did.
Flooding is one of the, you know, you'd think maybe cold weather's bad for birds. Well, you know, flooding, that's really bad because it covers up everything, you know. And it sweeps it away, so when the water is gone, their food is gone, too, you know. So, yeah, well, think of your wildlife critters, even though the weather's getting better.
Yeah, you gotta take care of them, and like you said, there's a lot of damage done in floods, and if it, you know, we don't have it that much anymore, but when you get below zero and stays there for a week or two, that sure works on them too.
Back out. I remember John Castrell, the former DNR biologist, saying that when it was snow on the ground, you could see the number of quail in this small cubby around his house drop a bird practically every day.
Uh-huh.
So they have to eat every day. You know,
sure.
They eat a lot. They have to eat a lot. They can't make it by on nothing.
Right.
So I heard you talking about Wyoming, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking about Wyoming. I was talking to Ron Bedwell out there. He lives out there in Riverside yesterday, and he said they had a foot of snow and was expecting more this week, and had been below zero every day or every morning.
Probably good, isn't it? Don't you think? I mean, they have had the kind of a scarcity of snow in that area, I think.
Yeah, he said it had been real nice up until now. He said they had had a pretty nice winter, but they were running low on moisture, and of course this snow will help that out considerably, because that's where they get their water from the snow, melting snow. And so the more snow, the better off they are.
And up at my old stomping grounds north there of Jackson, you know, up in around Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, yeah.
They've had 100, and I think Mike said 131 inches at the snowtail, which, you know, you never know what that means because, you know, it's a real problem measuring the depth of snow with any kind of accuracy, because some snow is little and soft and some is big and wet and down or fluffs up at different degrees,
right.
You know, so you're never really sure, but 131 inches seems like a lot.
That's a lot of snow, but like I said, that makes a lot of water, and that's what they need to freshen up the streams and the lakes and whatever.
Hey, while I hear the music, we got to take a little quick break here, and we got lots more to talk about, folks. Got Don Jordan on the phone and Betty Bill and me in the studio, so we'll be back here in just a minute.
Don't go away, folks. By golly, get you a big old ham and egg sandwich this morning and a cup of coffee. Boy, that sounds pretty good. And we'll be right back in a short. Don't go anywhere now.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM, South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Right now it's 44 degrees, and it's going to be a little rainy today. I think it's going to get maybe a little bit worse, so watch out for that. But the week's looking a little better. At least it's warmer. And we'll be back in just a few with more Inside Outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, want to remind everybody the Smithville Farmers Market winter section of it is the first Saturday of every month. So I think next Saturday will be the first Saturday of March, in March. And so you don't want to forget that. They've got a lot of, well, things to eat and crafts and just visit. By golly, get out of the house and visit with your neighbors and friends and might learn a little something. You never know.
And boy, that means that it won't be too long. We'll be seeing some vegetables and boy, I'm excited about that.
Oh yeah. I've been aiming to the last couple of weeks, get down to Montgomery and see if they've got their tomatoes set out and plants in their hothouses and mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah. But I haven't gotten down there yet, but maybe I'll make it in the next few weeks or a week or so and see what's going on down there and make sure they got them ready.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I'd say they have. Amos down there, he does a pretty good job, and he supplies the Smithville Farmer Market pretty much with corn and tomatoes and peppers and, well, just about everything. So, he's pretty good man down there and keeps things going.
Yeah. So Don, how's it going down there in Florida as far as gun control?
Well, the students from Parkland went up to have a word with Governor Scott, and he refused to see him.
Yeah, he didn't show up for that, did he?
And then he said he'd see him later, but I never saw anything about him seeing him later. So there you go. That's about what we got here. All the schools around here have high schools, various ones, Fort Myers, you know, down here. All let their students who wanted to take class off that day when the protests were going on, and they gathered in football stadiums and whatnot out and expressed their feelings about what had happened. And it was a chance for them to get it off their chest, I guess.
Yeah.
And of course, nothing has happened. I suppose you've seen the National Rifle Association's responses.
The head of the National Rifle Association talked Mr. President Trump.
Yes, and I saw Wayne LaPierre on TV. You probably did too, talking mm-hmm. about, well, you know, it's not guns that kill people, it's people.
Yeah.
The same old probably story. And a lot of discussion about what an AR-15 is versus another rifle. Well, you know, the main difference is they're a little shorter and fairly easy to break down, so they'll fit in a gym bag. It's a little harder to get a M14 or a big Remington 700 broken down and put in a gym bag, although you can do that. You can do that.
Well, it won't matter anymore because we're going to arm all the teachers and they can shoot them when they come into school.
I'm telling you, I think that's a mistake. And unless you arm the students too.
Oh, come on now, Don. Are you? Well, I mean, that's what Archie Bunker said. Just pass out the guns and when you get on the airplane, and then, you know, give them all back when you get off, and that'll take care of it. Be no more hijackings or anything.
It's like, you know, Marshall Earp at Dodge City, you know, no guns in town. Well, no guns on the airplane, so you got to check them in at the bar before you leave.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we're trying to do the opposite of that, like hand out the guns at the bar so there's no more fights, you know.
Yeah, all right. Well,
that worked. That worked.
And, it's, you know, I guess you saw this. Unfortunately, the poor devil the cop that didn't go in and shoot the shooter.
I never heard him talk about it, though. That's what we're,
well,
Bill and I were talking about.
Disappeared. He quit his job, and, you know, I'm sure he's out of town. There hasn't been a picture of him. That's given him a break, probably, because I mean, his life is pretty much ruined.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, that's what you call a scapegoat.
Well, nobody's really given any definition of why or how come or anything of why he was standing out. And me and Rich was talking before we came on the air. Take yourself and you, I don't know, nobody knows the situation other than the fact that he was standing out there and that's all they would will tell you. But if you hear shooting, are you going to just run in? No. You're going to look around to see where them shots is coming from and how to get in there to get him. And so,
problem
you know.
Was he never did run inside. And
well, I don't know, you know.
But they say.
Well, like what I said to Bill, though, this is not Templeton Elementary School. This is a giant campus that is like three times as big as South High School. So he might have been on one side. You don't know where he was, what the situation was, and it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter, right? He's the scapegoat. It was his fault that the guy didn't get, you know, taken out.
This all took place in the freshman building, they call it,
mm-hmm.
where he was standing.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't like he had to cover the entire school.
Well, I guess what I was saying is, what I mean is that you haven't heard his side of it, and...
No, that's right. We haven't heard his side, and we ought to.
And, you know...
We ought to hear it.
You probably won't, because he needs to duck down behind the nearest dumpster for the fact that people are out after him. They said that they have a... They got the police, you know, watching his home and everything because of the death threats and this and that. I mean, I feel real bad for the guy. It's ridiculous to do that.
I'd get out of town.
No kidding.
If I had any relatives in Oregon, I'd go there.
Well, he'd been on the force, been a police officer for 30 years.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that doesn't really mean much, you know, man.
No.
30 years, that probably meant he's maybe a little older and was thinking a little more about his mortality than a young fellow might. And
well, it just goes to show that arming teachers, you know, a 75-year-old lady isn't going to necessarily be pulling out the gun and go running down the hall looking for the guy.
Well, here's some stats. Here's a stat for you. This was the police talking, saying that in a violent situation where gunfire is exchanged, the average or the police shooting average is 18%. So only 18% of their bullets find home. Now, that's pretty poor, but that just gives you an idea of what it's like when there's a gunfight going on. And there's also the case after case of experienced hunters, wildlife biologists, people who regularly are in the northern wilderness and encounter grizzly bears,
mm-hmm.
right? I've never heard but one in the last 10 years where the guy who pulled the gun to shoot the grizzly bear actually shot the grizzly bear. Most of them never hit the grizzly bear. You know, that last guy in Alaska, wildlife manager with his wife, grizzly bear stops 10 feet short of him. He emptied his 357 and never hit the bear once. So, you know, you might be the best shot in the world, and when the stress comes, you're not such a good shot.
Right.
So the gun is not the answer.
Well, more guns is not the answer to this problem, because it's just a material way of looking at things. It's the whole point here is that there are other problems that are the source of the problem, and you know, guns are just sort of dealing with the effect. It's not the real part of the problem, and there's a whole lot more to be talked about. You know, president should be talking about education and all kinds of other things, you know, besides just arming the teachers. It's unbelievable.
Well, the NRA has an education program.
Well, yeah.
They'd be glad to give your school some information.
Well, you know, I want to bring something up, and that's the Second Amendment, which NRA likes to talk about all the time. But do you know the real reason for the Second Amendment?
the real reason for the Second Amendment? Well, I would hope that it was to protect yourself from the government, but
well,
I know it's not.
It really was not. It was the Second Amendment, when it was ratified, says state instead of country, and that's important because the framers knew the difference. It was to preserve slave patrol militias in the southern states. It was basically, to help the KKK and that sort of thing. It was basically, these militias in the South were called slave patrols, and they were regulated by the states, like in Georgia and South Carolina and places like that. And it required plantation owners and their male white employees to be members of the militia. And these armed militia members made monthly inspections of the quarters of all the slaves in the state. And then, it went on and on after that. That was what it was originally for. It's not for the general people to protect themselves from the government. It was basically to keep the slaves at bay. And that was the original meaning for that.
I didn't know that. It's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that expressed before, but not as well as Rich does.
Well, thank you. But I did a little research that when I get upset, I start reading up on things.
Well, some of that's in People's History of the United States,
mm-hmm.
Which is probably the best history book on the market. That's one that Mitch wanted to ban from the library up at Purdue.
Yeah.
That probably tells you what kind of stuff you might find in People's History of the United States. I'd recommend you go out and pick that up.
Well, I'm sure we'll find that in the schools that these kids are going to.
Well, that is one of the better schools, obviously, over there. The students were all, they were bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, good at expressing themselves, and grasped the situation immediately. So, and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, I guess this is a good point to interject this. Most people in the world, especially in this country, didn't have any idea what the Everglades were until she wrote The River of Grass and explained how it was a one big river that covered the entire state and actually started up around maybe south of Ocala a little ways,
mm-hmm.
On the Kissimmee River. And the understanding of that led to, lots of support, and we've passed the bill to buy the land to send the water back through the South, and the sugar industry still holding it up. There's two or three families out there that have incredible power and say with the federal government. I mean, they've kept this going for so long, and they get price support, so they're basically on government welfare. And because of our sugar policies, and we pay half of what other people in the world pay for sugar.
That's true.
Been going on for a long time, and they're still the main holdup. Even though the law is passed, the money has been set aside. They still managed to stop. I'd say that the state hasn't been really an eager partner in saving the Everglades, but the law is there. It has passed. 75% of the people in Florida voted for the Restore the Everglades law, which passed a couple 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a good bid.
Yeah. So there you go. That's more of the same. More of the same.
Yeah.
Sorry to say.
Well, one last thing I wanted to say about the National Rifle Association before we move off this subject is there's a lot of businesses that are ending their partnerships with them. I don't know if you saw this story, but...
Oh, yes, it's been on TV.
Yeah, the Symantec cybersecurity is gone. The MetLife used to have a credit card that was sponsored by the NRA, and they've gotten rid of that. And it looks like First National Bank is gone. Enterprise Holding, which is Alamo, Enterprise, National Car Companies are gone. A lot of people are protesting this whole thing that the NRA is saying.
Well, I also heard, you know, the comeback on that now is the NRA guys out there saying, and at least it was on local TV here, saying, well, any of these businesses around here that don't quit supporting the NRA, well, then we'll quit going to their business. So we got the escalation already in the trade war over the gun regulation. So
yeah,
see how it goes.
Well, I don't know. But I don't think the answer is arming the rest of the country, because more guns. I saw President Trump on there with the Prime Minister of Australia yesterday, and you know Australia had a mass shooting in 1995, and they just got rid of everything. It is so hard to get a gun there. You cannot have a automatic weapon or a semi-automatic weapon, and they brought their gun violence down to just about zero. And he was being political. He said, "Well, I can't tell you what you guys should do or anything. You know, you got a different situation here." But it's pretty interesting how other countries have dealt with this problem, and it certainly was not arming the rest of the country to the teeth.
Well, kind of the same thing happened in Great Britain, you know, after they had that school shooting in Scotland. They basically banned firearms, and there hadn't been any school shootings there since.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is obviously the problem. But you're not going to ban guns in the United States, I don't believe. I don't believe it's ever going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Never know.
No, and they had... one of the arguments is that, you know, what we're going to have people come into your house and decide, you know, look around for your guns and take them. That's not how they dealt with it in Australia. They had a buyback situation where they said if you voluntarily, and it wasn't cheap. I mean, they were paying good money for your guns, and they said they're going to be illegal. So if you get caught with one, you'll be in trouble, but we will buy them back from you. And that's the way they did it. That was the law. A lot of people didn't like it, but they just still allow people that are involved with, out in the outback and other places where you need a gun to have a hunting rifle or whatever you need. But it's really highly regulated.
Yes. Well, I can say I don't believe that'll ever happen in this country. Getting any kind of gun control law passed has been impossible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to say. It's just, it's almost hopeless, it seems. And I'd say with the current political climate and the way things are in Washington, D.C., that nothing is going to happen. But more shootings, probably.
Yeah. Well, I'm like you, Don. I don't see them ever doing away with guns. It's almost impossible.
Hey, well, we got to take a quick break, so think about that for a minute. We'll come back and talk some more about some other things that have to do with the outdoors.
Hey, don't go away, folks. We got to take a little break and recognize our sponsors. So don't go away. Stay right where you're at and get you another ham and egg sandwich if you're hungry, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also at 98.1 and Bloomington 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. So you can hear us every week on WFHB.org. I tell you what, one other thing I wanted to mention is we do podcast this, and you can hear it on WFHB if you just go to the website, and you can hear that for a couple weeks. So if you missed anything, you can definitely come back. And today it is 44 degrees and cloudy. It's going to be about high of 53 today and get a little bit better in the next couple days. We're going to stay in the 50s. Coming right back with Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we wasn't gone too long. It's still kind of mist and a little rain out there, I think. And get out and get wet and melt. Everybody's real sweet around here.
So, yeah.
don't want anybody melting.
No.
But anyway, the rest of the week looks pretty good. It's supposed to dry up a little bit, so and stay in the 50s or better. So, we might get a little fishing in here for long.
I think we're all looking forward to fishing. How about you, Don?
I'm looking forward to fishing. I'm selling my boat, though, down here. And any fishing I do in the future, I guess I'll be going on somebody else's boat.
Well, you still got your kayak, ain't you? Your canoe or whatever?
I still have my canoe. I do. I got a 12-footer and an 18-footer, which, I still have my ginu also sitting back up in Indiana in the garage, which is what I use most of the time if I go fishing these days.
Uh-huh.
When you're an old guy, it's a little harder to paddle those canoes around. But we did have them out for that kayak, the lunar eclipse or the solar eclipse we had last summer. You remember that?
Sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we went down and kayaked, we actually canoed with the kayakers down at Lake Patoka and took that in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah, that was an event to remember. Turned out a lot of people.
Well, you might want to bring your boat back up here because if it keeps raining, you may need it.
That's right. I got the canoe there. We live on top of a hill.
I was going to say we're pretty high here. If it starts flooding here, why we're a world of hurt.
There'll be a few places around down on the low. Sometimes Clear Creek gets out down low, and all of them do for a little while anyway. We have a lot of small streams that if they do flood, it doesn't last long.
Yeah, well, Bean Blossom, it gets out pretty good. And
yes,
like
it's
you say,
our flat land down in that Bean Blossom bottom.
Clear Creek and stuff like that. There's Indian Creek. Them's our main ones, but they do get out. You got to kind of watch.
So I got a story here from the DNR news release about giving money on your tax forms to support wildlife in Indiana, that's the non-game wildlife fund. And in the same list of stories I got from them, I got one about trapping otter and hunting bobcat. Now, I'm not sure, but weren't both of those animals reintroduced with the non-game and endangered species fund,
I think they were, yeah.
Gave money to.
They went to Mississippi and got the otters.
They went down south. I don't know whether I'd be too happy if I knew that I gave some money for non-endangered and non-game species and to end up having them put on the list of, you can hunt and trap these animals. I don't know what to say about that. Do you?
No, not really. You kind of got me there. Why would you hunt a bobcat?
Well,
other than just to shoot something.
I guess there are these trophy people out there that like to have stuffed animals, and so I suppose there might be some of that involved. Now, there may be some occasions where a bobcat is raiding somebody's chickens or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's a little different story.
If they're causing a problem to your life and keeping your family in health.
But again, that's not hunting. That's and I don't think you have to have a license to shoot something that's attacking your chickens on your own property, would you?
That's just protection.
No.
Yeah, so that's not really even a thing. It's It's this idea of going out after them, which I can't even imagine why you would do that either.
Do you eat otters?
No, but they have a real nice fur. And even though fur is, you know, not worth anywhere near what it was, it's still something that people can make a few bucks on, and they're going to do it. And that may be what the bobcat thing is about, too. You know?
Well, maybe.
Fur. So I can't think of any other reason. And,
I can't. Well, I don't either. I mean, that'd be about the only reason, is to make a few bucks off of them, because they're not good to eat, neither one of them. And
I wouldn't think so.
Well, I wouldn't want to eat them.
well,
some people might, but I wouldn't.
The whole situation. And they are this is in the package of wildlife rules and regulations that the DNR board's going to consider this next time up.
Oh, yeah.
And they have not come back with the 25 fish limit on bluegills. So that's still, take as many as you can get.
Yeah.
Here in Indiana, anyway. We're never going to have any good bluegill fisheries. At least for very long, if they don't change that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've just about eliminated it now. It's pretty thin.
Well, the only place you're going to find any what I'd call big bluegills is a rare one from one of our reservoirs. You might catch one or two nice bluegills, but probably not. But farm pond that doesn't, doesn't get fished much, that's where your big fish are now.
Well, that's the only place you're going to be able to find them.
And that goes away if you open it up and let people start taking out all the fish they want. So most people who own a good lake will say, well, you can take 20 bluegills or something like that, And I would always offer to give some fillets to the people who owned the pond, at least the ones who liked fish, and
right.
Appreciate that. That's a good way to keep yourself coming back,
Right. That's a good relationship.
It's time to think about that now, because fishing's about ready to go,
It is, yes.
Been all kinds of articles about getting your fishing gear ready, stretching your line out to get those loops out, and checking that lower unit on your boat, replacing any rotten fishing line on your reels, stuff like that, which if you don't do now, you're going to be doing it on the lake and have all kinds of problems. So, did you see the bison got cut loose again out at Yellowstone?
No, I hadn't seen that.
This week, yeah, they gathered up the herd again. Somebody had cut them loose, cut the fences there at near Mammoth about a month ago, I guess it was. And then it happened again this week. They had them all herded up to send off to the slaughterhouse, and somebody who's obviously against this snuck in at night and cut the fences, and the bison wandered away again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
That sounds like that's terrible.
Well, they're after those. Even the wildlife guys are saying now, well, this is to stop a dangerous wildlife disease. And we've been through this, that bison as well as elk carry brucellosis, which is a tuberculosis-like disease that cattle can get. But there's not a case of it coming from bison to cattle, but there's plenty of elk from cattle, but they don't want to eliminate the elk. They want to eliminate the bison.
Well, there's more money in them elk.
Yeah, a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot more.
A lot more.
And somebody else, another snowmobiler died out of Yellowstone this last week, too.
What happened to him,
Well, the other snowmobilers found him face down in a creek with his snowmobile on top of him.
Ooh.
That'll do it.
That'll do it every time.
That will do it. It sounds to me like the story's done been told there.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you got to be careful. And I read another interesting thing about Yellowstone. They had about 200 mini earthquakes out there. I know there's earthquakes all the time, but there was a flurry of them real recently.
Yeah.
That's about a month
they
or so
ago.
No, it just happened.
Happened?
I mean, it happens kind of all the time there. But, I mean, it's a caldera. It's a big, there's a big volcano under the whole thing. So it happens.
Yes, there was, it does happen. It happens at alarmingly frequently, alarming frequency. Anybody that's been out there has probably been jolted in bed at night or, you know, be walking along and, that my experience was walking through the bison herd and feeling these thumps that kind of made me walk a little funny, serious thumps. And I thought maybe a bison was charging me. I'm looking all around looking for a bison. No, there's another thump, and I realized it was an earthquake.
Yeah.
It does happen a lot. And I guess there are some other earthquakes around the United States last month or so, not necessarily associated with fracking, like in Oklahoma, where they now have thousands of earthquakes a year.
Right,
thousands.
Yeah. Well, earthquakes happen. That's for sure. I mean, people kind of forget about that, but we're due for a few up here too.
The big shake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll shake you, all right.
Hey, and something I wanted to bring up before we end the show. It's getting a little bit late in the hour, but. There will be a short documentary called Saving Yellowwood, and that's going to be, it's about the resistance to the logging in Brown County and Indiana State Forests. It was produced and edited by John and Hannah Boggs to document the movement to save 1,733 old forest trees that were recently sold in a timber sale and captured some of the voices of the local activists. It's a really good movie. And it is free, and all you got to do is go to Brown County School, Brown County Playhouse tonight at 7 p.m. It is free, and donations will be collected, and if you do donate, the proceeds will go to Brown County School Music and Arts Program. And they'll have some live musical guests, including Keenan Rainwater, Hammer and the Hatchet, and Carl Ray. So I just wanted to let everybody know. You want to do something nice and have a nice Saturday night, that's the best thing to do. Go out there to Brown County and see that movie, because we all need to save our old growth forests in Indiana.
Well, we talked about that several times, and it seems like the state, the only thing they can think of is them dollars. And they get rid of all the good timber and the old timber and
Well, it's going on everywhere, but I do have some good news from West Virginia. I mentioned this. They were talking about commercial logging in West Virginia state parks, and apparently the bill that would allow regulated commercial logging on West Virginia state park lands is dead, according to Cabell County Senator Mike Wolf. And the announcement came in the middle of the news cycle that... that basically it would have allowed logging in an effort to manage the land. Or, you know, that's what they say, manage the land. And it'll raise $50 million, of course. But, you know, they did not want that to happen. And so that's kind of good news. I hope that that's more permanent than temporary.
Yeah, well, maybe that'll bleed over into Indiana, too. And eventually we can get something like that done. It's just like gun control. You got to use your head and be sensible. And there is some timber that needs to be cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody realizes that. But when they go in, they more or less clear cut. And when they clear cut or even harvest them, a few, they damage so many others.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing at both ends. You're losing your good timber and you're losing your young timber because they're getting all scarred up by cutting the others.
Well, if you go look in the, they're actually marked these trees for cutting. The ones that have the paint on them are the best trees there. You know, they're the tallest, the straightest, with the least number of low limbs.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps the knots out of the lumber after they cut it.
Right.
And I most of these end up being veneer logs. They take a real wafer thin section off of those logs with a great big knife like machine, and scrapes it off, you know. And you can make a lot of veneer out of one big hickory tree or oak tree or
sure can
whatever it happens to be. And there's a lot of money made by several people along the line, except for the state of Indiana, which is selling them, what did they say, about $6 a tree?
Yeah, they're giving them away, basically.
Yep.
And then there's a big deal that they give a little bit of that money back to the counties they came out of. Well, you know, we're talking lots of big money involved in this, the end line on this process, and it's not going to where the trees are.
No.
So I rest my case.
The rest is his case. Have you done any fishing down there?
No, but the fishing started. There was a picture of a big snook in the paper. This warm weather has warmed the water up inshore quite a lot, and the fishing is on. Big catches of sea trout, which, you know, so-so as far as catching and eating concerned. But the snook now, that's a pretty nice fish to catch. And the redfish, I don't know whether they're out there yet, but a number of the usual suspects are out there. And, of course, this is a bull shark nursery area around here, so lots of sharks.
A lot of sharks, huh?
Yeah.
Lots of bull sharks.
There's
a great white spotted down around south of Naples, down in the 10,000 Islands, heading our way.
Oh.
This is the last time anybody saw a great white shark in this part of Florida was. Never, maybe.
Hmm. Well, you have to keep your eyes open for him.
I won't be swimming.
Oh, you're not going to swim?
No.
Chicken.
Hey, well, listen, folks. With that, we're about over with the day. We've been here another week, and it has been warmer, and that's about it for us. Say bye, Don.
Bye, Don.
Yeah, bye, Don. Hey, take care, folks. We'll be back next week. We hope everybody enjoyed this morning's little get-together, and we're tickled to death you could join us. So until next week, we'll say bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. You've just been listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll see you next week. And just to let you know, it is still 44 degrees. It's going to be a little bit wet today. It's going to get a little worse, but it's going to slow down and stop by tomorrow. We're looking at the 50s. See you later. We'll be back next week.